Now, if you've been watching my show, if you've been paying attention to me ranting on social media, you've heard me talk about this lady no less than 100 times. Coming up next to the show is a woman named Anna Maria Davis. And she introduced me to Hollywood because, believe it or not, when I met her, she told me I was a publisher and I was a producer. And I said, no, I'm not. I'm a tech geek. I just make a magazine. And she said, let me show you the way. So coming up right now, writer, producer, director, and really good friend, Anna Maria Davis. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Teresa.
Oh, hi, how
nice
are you?
To be here. Happy Women's Day.
Happy Women's Day. And you used to live down the street. Now you're a little bit further away. Are you in the world?
I'm actually in Puerto Vallarta right now. I'm pretty far away. I'm at 3 hours by flight, so it's not too bad. If you're coming from LA, it's not that bad, but it's a drive. It's a drive. Yeah, you know I'm Mexican, American, so it's kind of like being home here for me.
And this isn't something that you just did for COVID. You've been, you know, living in both countries for a while now, and you just chose to kind of wait out COVID in one of the prettiest places on the planet. I mean, come on. You know, poor thing, you got to wait out over there, you know?
No, that's what I decided. I thought, well, until I get the vaccine and I know that I'm not going to get anyone sick, I'll just stay here. My kids said, no, stay there, Mom, stay. So I'm still here. I've not been home for over a year. It's the first time in my life I've been away this long. Yeah, that's hard. But, you know, it's worth it. It's worth not going home until we know.
Let's talk about your journey, because you are, you know, I start the sentence with my friend Anna Maria Davis. You know, she did Fools Rush In with Matthew Perry and Selma Hayek. You know, this is how I start the conversation. Let's talk about how you, because I mean, Hollywood is your family business. How did you get involved in Hollywood? How did you become a producer, a director, a writer? Where did all that come from?
I believe in frequency. And as a child at age 3, I was born in Las Vegas. My family's been in Boulder City since 1941. And I danced with Margaret Ketchum. If you're from Vegas, an old timer, you'll remember Margaret Ketchum. She was from Los Angeles and she would come out to Nevada weekly. And she basically mentored me in dance. And I got to do ballet folklorico, ballet, tap, jazz, Hawaiian, because she studied with the kahunas. And then Mary Rennie from the Chicago Philharmonic moved to Boulder City, and she was my piano teacher. So we were just so blessed in Nevada to have these incredible artists that, you know, were teaching us because it was their passion, even though many of them at some point, Mary was retired. Then I went on and my father had me do a lot of international business for him. And I realized I liked the idea of merchandising. And everyone thought, oh, you're going to go into modeling. I modeled as a kid in the 70s in Mexico City. And I just didn't like the objectifying feeling of modeling. So I went back to university at UNR. And then I graduated from the Fashion Institute in Merchandising Management in 1984. And I was this powerful, you know, I've worked for my father since I was a child. I'd come back and forth from Mexico City. I'd lived with the daughter, the niece of the Lopez Portillo family and the Asensio family. I was mentored by grandparents and Salvador Asensio in international business. And I'm thinking with my roommate in LA, okay, we're graduated. I'm going to open a knockoff shoe. Zappos wasn't around back then. This was 84. And I thought, I want to do knockoffs. And, you know, and I always had been in front of the camera, but I didn't like the way that women were treated back then. This was a long time ago. And especially AIDS was a tough time for women. So I was planning to move, and some friend of mine in the industry was a producer, and he said, you need to be dating. I said, no, I don't. I just broken up with somebody. I'm really independent. I don't want to date. And he said, and I'd never been on a blind date at all. And he said, why don't you come on this blind date for me, please? And I'm like, oh God, tell him he needs to call me now or I'm not going. So it took about 2 weeks and we got a date finally. And he was 9 years older than I was. And he goes, he's an up and coming young producer in Hollywood. And you're going to really like him. And I'm like, I'm not interested in getting serious. I'll go because he's a friend of yours and I don't do blind dates, but I'll do. And I was dating a guy named Terrence Knox a little bit. We were friends and he was an actor on seen elsewhere. And he goes, oh, Anna, producers are terrible. You don't want to hang out with me. He's going to show up in a Mercedes or something. And I'm like, God, you know, it's already, I'd already moved away. I tried to stay away from a lot of Hollywood, you know, even though because I'm a dancer and I play classical piano, and merchandising is exactly like Hollywood. It's set up the same way. In the old garment industry, people were actually the founders of Hollywood. Mm-hmm. So I go on this date, you know, and he shows up in this beat up old, I didn't know he had a Mercedes at all, but he showed up in this beat up old car with dog hair all over it. And I thought, oh my God, he has to be okay. And my friend Terry is actually standing behind the door making sure that this guy is okay. So we go on this date, and I went away to a big wedding. My friend Wendy was getting married in San Francisco at Stanford, and I was maid of honor, and I went, oh, wow, I'm not getting married for a while. This is way too much for me. I came home from the wedding, and I was intimate with this young producer, and I went the next day to Planned Parenthood as a woman today. It was something that I really was proud to be able to say, I'm going to go to Planned Parenthood. I just started my new job at the California Mart. And lo and behold, I found out very early on that I was pregnant.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. And he was a producer. And I'm this young, out of college, independent woman. And something inside of me, because of things that had happened in my life, told me this was meant to be. And I could feel this child inside of me. And I thought, you know, I'm an independent woman. My mother had been a single mom when I was very young. And I thought, you know, I can do this. And I said to him, I called him. I go, I got to tell you something. Can I see you? I mean, we don't really know each other. And although he'd been calling me every day for like about 2 months at that point, like every single day he'd call me. He was an agent or a manager at the time. And so I decided, okay, I need to tell you this. And he goes, what? And I said, well, I'm pregnant. And it was in that moment he looked at me, and I, you know, we didn't know each other. He says, well, what can I do for you? And I said, well, do me a big favor, because I have all these brothers and family that's really intense. I'm not going to tell them I'm pregnant. I did tell my oldest brother, my sister-in-law, but no one else knew. I said, I want you to come home and meet them so that when you're not in my life, they'll at least know I didn't have intimacy with some stranger. At least, you know, we did that. And we never had spent that much time together. So we spent 5 hours in the car driving there and got talked the whole way. And then there's this good Jewish boy from New York. We show up at my mother's house, and she's got a big Mexican blessed mother on the front lawn, and she has the cross in the house and Doug's eyes. He does comedy. We're like this big. And on the way in, and then my brothers and I took him shooting, and we did all kinds of, he said to me later, I thought you guys were going to shoot me. And I said, no, I didn't tell them I was pregnant. And my daughter.
Now,
as
people
sister,
listen to this story, they're listening and they're going, this sounds like Fools Rush In.
Yeah, to some extent. We changed a lot of it because it's a. I need to tell people that because people go, well, that's not true because it's a film and we loosely based it on it. And because my parents had gone through a similar situation in Nevada, my mother was one of the first Latinos to move to Boulder City in 1941. I grew up with that feeling of always, you know, feeling a little off. I had tortillas at home. Most people had bread. You know, but I looked, you know, I could fit right into whatever mold this community had. But it's loosely based. I did not have my son, Ryan. He's a boy, obviously. He's 36 and a TV agent at William Morris Endeavor and a partner now, actually. I wanted to have a baby on the dam because I thought, well, it was a metaphor. My dad had worked for Hoover Dam for 30 years, so I knew the dam like the back of my head. I used to ditch school and hang out with him. So I said, let's create a line. When I actually ghostwrote the greenlit draft with Catherine Reback after many years of 7 years. I was blessed because I had 7 years of development when the story was bought by Sony, by Teddy Z, basically, because we'd had our third baby. And he was like, oh my God, well, we need more money because it's like real estate. You have to save your money. And I go, so he's out pitching ideas. And I've been doing Mexican tortillas for years in the classroom because so many Hollywood at the time didn't have a lot of culture because high concept films had just started with distribution, became more a higher ROI for foreign. And so the films became very shallow, I guess you could say. So they would make every Latina look exactly alike, you know. And it was like my ex-husband used to say, "Honey, it drives you crazy." I said, "I know, because do I look like that?" And they said, "No." I said, "We have everything." So my ex-husband went to pitch 8 ideas in Teddy Z's that I didn't like. I don't like any. I want to do yours as on a story, because I had people that are now big in the business over to my house for tamales, and I would make tour. I bring my mom in for show and tell at All Saints in Beverly Hills, and she goes, "Oh, she'll never do it. She hates what you guys are doing in Hollywood." And so she called me, and I said, "I'll only do it if you let me be participatory the whole way. I want to learn the industry. I want to make sure that the storyline." So I was very blessed. I had 7 years. Every 2 years, a studio back then would pretty much change heads of the studio. And so you have to repitch. And it takes about 2 years to get a script ready for a read. And then you do line for line and scene for scene. So I was very blessed. I went through, you know, many regimes, 3 regimes and 2 different writers, going line for line, scene for scene with different people, so that you really learn. I remember they partnered with me with Julie Crane, who grew up with Nancy Myers and Charles Shires. She was mentored by them. And we would take a script and sit in different parts of the room, and we would write the same note on the same page, because we'd been mentored at the same time in the same way. So my strength was really developed. That was what I, and it was easy because I grew up dancing. So when it came to shoot the movie, I wouldn't leave set. I was so worried they were going to make all Latinos look terrible. Because I've danced my whole life. Directing is wasn't that challenge. You know, I got directing, and Andy was really wonderful. Andy Tennant, he let me sit there, and I sat next to Peter Devlin, who went on to be nominated for Academy Awards, who taught me sound, the importance of sound. I have my little sound on here. I'm doing okay. But I was really blessed, Teresa. You know, I think this industry, you have to have mentors. And if you're really lucky, if you're a woman, you'll have a female mentor, just because, not that men aren't, I had men mentors, but there's something about having another woman who understands certain things that, not that men don't understand them, but they can't empathize the same way. Sympathy is one thing, but empathy is far more important, I think. Yeah.
See, this is why I tell you every time we talk, we need to do a show together, because your interview time is almost over. I got to bring you back on, because we didn't even touch the tip of your career. We just kind of told the foundational story today. And you know, you're right. Female mentor is awesome in Hollywood. And I am so happy you were mine and still are.
Well, I'm so proud of you.
Oh, thank you. And I remember you taking me to Hollywood and literally like, you know, a puppy, sit, stay, don't touch anything. I can't tell you, you know, it's a combination of a lot of people, but me sitting here doing this is definitely attributed to you and Lillian McMorris and George Carson and Amy Jo Greer, but you took me on that first journey. And I mean, you even took me to Hollywood on a road I didn't even know how to get on from Vegas to LA. I want to thank you, my friend, for coming and hanging out with me today, sharing a little
it's
bit
my
of
pleasure.
Your story. Just so you guys know, they really did shut down Hoover Dam for the scene. They're the only film to do that. And when the tour is open again, there's a billboard in the tour to say, "We shut down Hoover Dam for this."
I was lucky.
I thank you. I love you. You are the best.
Love you too,
Teresa. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Have fun.
Thanks.